is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. We have a lot of information for you, especially, you know, still being Autism Awareness Month. There's a ton of news articles and things being published in especially medical journals and just in the news of all these events going on. We actually have one study that shows why autism may run in the family, which we'll get to in a minute. Also, talk a little bit about how kids need to go back to basic play. You know, we focus so much on therapies that we don't focus enough on playtime, and we'll be talking about that shortly coming up. But first, we'd like to get out there. A big event coming up on May the 3rd, Walk for a Lifetime in Verona Park, New Jersey, for the Children's Institute. We'll be holding their annual Walk for a Lifetime in Verona Park. The TCI provides educational, therapeutic, and vocational training to children and adults on the autism spectrum with related disabilities. You can go to www.tcischool.org/walk today to register or donate for this great event. So we're looking forward to that. And also, don't forget, coming up June the 1st at Picatinny Arsenal NJFCU's 6th Annual Golf Tournament. The North Jersey Federal Credit Union does a great job in putting on this event, and all proceeds will benefit Autism Radio, the Boys and Girls Club of Paterson and Passaic, New Jersey. So you can have fun for a good cause, and contact today Adia Abswab at 973-785-9200, this extension 3392, or you can email her at marketing@njfcu.org. So if you're interested in becoming a sponsor or to register, you need to do it by May the 15th. They'll be closing the registration process, so want to be sure to get in on the action. So you can email, like I said, Adia Abswab at marketing@njfcu.org, or you can call her at 973-785-9200, extension 3392. So, you know, please get in on that action today. It's a great event at the Picatinny Arsenal. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to see this wonderful, beautiful course because it's closed off to the public, and you have to have an appointment to get in there. So it's a great, great day to play some great golf for a good cause. So be a part of that today. Want to talk about some of the articles in the news today. It's just such a busy month. It's crazy. We have a study that just recently came out about why autism may actually run in the family. This was published in Baltimore, Maryland. The researchers at Johns Hopkins University of Medicine unveiled what could possibly be a reason why autism appears to be passed on in families. According to this study, there's epigenetic changes rather than actual DNA mutations may actually be responsible for causing autism in the children. The professor Daniel Fallon told in the study that the study shows the importance of epigenetics in an area of research for autism, not only in children, but for the parents at the time of conception and child at birth. The study was published in the International Journal of Epidemiology. The scientists carefully examined the changes to the methylation patterns that are found in the DNA of the sperm cells of men involved in the research. And then they correlated these epigenetic changes to the level of symptoms of autism by the men's children. And the professor explained that the higher methylation in the genes that they looked at, the higher for the score for the observational risk for autistic symptoms in children. The researchers actually believe that their study provides a possible explanation as why autism tends to run in certain families. However, this is a pilot study, and it's a very small number of patients, so they're not really making any generalized statements on causes of autism. But this is just one thing. It's recently new. It's another area that they're looking into to find out possibly correlation where it may run in certain families. So it's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes there's a lot of these studies being done all the time. I don't talk about all of them. I just thought that one was kind of interesting and, you know, just touch base a little bit on it. And I'm sure we'll hear some more stuff about it in the future, you know, to see if there's any, like I said, real merit to that study. But we also want to talk about one of the really important things about children today is, you know, playtime. And, you know, there's some great therapies out there. The DIR model, okay, encourages play and therapy for children with autism spectrum disorder. And really the fact is that play is a great therapy for all children, okay? It develops a higher order of thinking skills that can be developed at play and can lead to greater cognition ability and even possibly a better understanding of skills needed for the calculus and other types of even math. Putting it simply, play therapy can pay off for all children, and it can lead to a lot of improved academics and much, much better social interaction. You know, because let's face it, kids today are not playing as much. A lot of schools don't have the typical playgrounds because they took them down, a lot of them, for, you know, basically safety reasons and also, you know, the legal system today of kids getting hurt on playgrounds and stuff. So there's a lot less playgrounds in a lot of schools today than there used to be. And I just think that, you know, some of the best things to have a swing set, a slide, because a lot of children with autism have a lot of difficulty with gross motor skills. You know, like after going on a swing can be difficult because it requires a lot of coordination skills that often eluded a lot of kids too. So let's say the teacher, you know, say, okay, let's go outside for sensory time. You know, children, I think, will run outside because they want to go outside, you know. And, you know, it's good to have a planned activity because, you know, they like predict the outcomes, obviously, is the best choice for a day. And I think that children and teachers, you know, it's good because there's probably some kids are very quiet or very much into themselves. They don't talk. And they're finding that now these kids go out and play and get on a swing or get on a slide, that they're actually, you know, their speech can improve, their academics, just their social skills, because playtime leads to that. And it helps communication and also can bring a lot of children's behaviors together because a lot of them don't go and are encouraged to play. Because a lot of schools are so focused on therapies and therapies that they forget that kids just want to be kids and go out and play and have some downtime and have fun. So there actually is a lot of merit to this. And I think, you know, it's a good combination of the other therapies, I think, that can help the other therapies come along. Because, you know, if you're sitting in the room with a kid all day and doing flashcards and, you know, all kinds of different activities, you know, for their education, you know, I think sometimes they forget, you know, just the kids need to have fun and go out and play on the playground. So there is a lot of information and a lot of documentation that it's helped a lot of these kids is just getting back into the old playtime. And, you know, basically recess was part of a normal day. And a lot of the children today, they don't get the chance to do that activity anymore because people think it's a waste of time. But actually, like I said, the recess has shown in a lot of studies that it can improve the academics and a lot of social interactions. So I thought that was very interesting, you know, that it's being looked into more now. You know, like I said, kids today play too many video games too. They don't get outside like they used to. In fact, I was just talking about this the other day, how baseball, you know, is America's pastime, but there's less and less kids you'll see on baseball fields today compared to probably 20 years ago. Baseball is not as popular as it used to be. It's very strange. You know, I think it's funny how you see today, if you go to most ball fields, you'll see soccer going on. Or you'll see lacrosse. Like, these two sports are now taking over sport like baseball. And it's just interesting how the changes are, because baseball, you need kids to play one another. So you can't just practice by yourself. Whereas, you know, you can take a soccer ball out in the yard and kick the ball around. It's really easy to practice. You know, so I think that's another part of it. Even things like lacrosse. I go down the street. In my neighborhoods, I see a lot of lacrosse nets. Kids are out there shooting on their net, you know, and they can practice by themselves. But baseball's tough. Baseball's a little tougher. You really need another person. I think that's why I think, you know, because kids don't go out together. I mean, when I was a kid, everybody went to the park. There would be, you know, 10, 12, maybe even 20 kids sometimes, and you play baseball, you know, together. You know, you had enough kids for two teams, you know, and play each other. You don't really have that today. Big thing I know we used to play a lot was like wiffle ball, but you need a lot of kids. Problem is, a lot of kids don't go out with their friends like they used to. They used to ride their bikes, and you don't see that as much as you used to anymore. These kids are so much into social media, they're into their iPhones, they're into their PlayStations and their Xboxes and, you know, online gaming, and they don't actually go outside and do a lot of the things that we used to do as children, like I said, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and more, because it was a lot different. So as good as a lot of the technology today in these games are great, because they can be, you know, used in a positive way for sure, I think it's also, you know, we're forgetting how kids just go out and be able to play. And also the world we live in, I know Lynn and I have talked about it, you know, it's a lot more dangerous today, a lot more kidnappings and things going on out there that are a little scary. So I think parents are a little reluctant, or, you know, a little more protective of their kids to send them out because they're afraid something may happen. So that's, you know, that's part of it. So it's a combination of those two, I think. You know, we'll definitely follow up to see what the studies, if there's more, you know, playtime being allowed in more of these schools, because some of these schools are strictly just academics today. And like I said, they don't, even a lot of the private schools, you know, they don't have playgrounds. You know, they'll send their kids, young kids, even from K through five, you know, they don't have a playground on the premises. So like I said, they're finding out this is helping kids with a lot of different areas of academics and also their social skills. So, hopefully, things will change for the better and, you know, but, as awareness becomes more relevant of how important play can be. So I think that shined a little bit of a light. At least somebody's looking into it from a scientific research study, actually, you know, showing how it improved grades and academics and social, interaction and social skills. It's interesting. So, but I know that we have a couple other things coming up, too. We want to remind everybody that we have a huge event coming up September the 18th for our first annual casino night. And we're really excited to have that. It's going to be at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's going to be from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's $95 per person, and this includes a full buffet, open bar, $100 in casino money. We have silent auctions, and of course we have a DJ with a dance floor, and we have also an open bar included in the price. So it's really a great night out, guys. So it's a great night for a couples night to feel like you're in Vegas, Atlantic City, yet you don't have to drive far, and you can be home by midnight. So it's a great Friday night, great way to start a weekend off in September. Kids are all back in school by then for a couple of weeks, so I think it's a perfect time. So be sure to go to autismradio.org and check out the casino night. Tickets are available now to purchase your tickets, and we're going to have some special guests there. We have a few celebrities that are going to be there. So once we get a confirmation on who's going to be there, we'll definitely let you know. But we have heard that possibly Kenny Danico from the New Jersey Devils is going to be there. We also heard that Tony Siragusa, the Goose, from the New York Giants is going to be there. And also possibly we heard that Jacqueline Loretta from the Jersey Housewives is also going to be making an appearance with her husband. So if they do come, we'll let you know. But it's a great, great way to raise some money for our organization, Autism Radio, and help someone in the autism community today, guys. So we want to know what else is going on in the autism community. Be sure to use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777 because we look for your calls. We'd like to share one of your messages, whether you want to leave the message to actually play your message on the air, you could do that. Or if you just want to leave a message for us to share the story, you can let us know that. But again, it's 1-877-HOPE-777. So be sure to use our toll-free hotline. That line is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can use that at any time. If you have any great events that you'd like Autism Radio to be a part of, you can please send us an email at questions@autismradio.org. Or if you do have a question or something for the show that you'd like to share, you know, please send it to questions@autismradio.org. You know, we're always looking for new ideas and new content for the program, of course. And it's a great way to get information to the community, because basically we're sharing, you know, sharing a lot of stories. My co-host Lynn Glukoff will be back with me next week, hopefully, and we have some great social media topics that we're looking to cover, and we're going to take it from there. So it's been great. You know, your online support every day has been wonderful, and it's been a lot of fun. So as we know, I've been doing this show a really long time on Hope Saves the Day, and been through a lot of journeys with a lot of different people, and it's been a great ride with you all, and I want to just thank all our listeners. You know I always thank you guys, and I can't say that enough, because without you, it would not be possible. I've got a chance to meet some amazing people, amazing children in the autism community. It's just been incredible. And hopefully I've shared some great information that was helpful to you. I know a lot of our listeners have wrote in over the years too, how, you know, talking about some of my topics and my struggles has helped you guys get through some of your days. Because I know Lynn, our blogger here, writes about her daily struggles with her son Michael, and shares a lot of insight to that and what she's going through. And you know, sometimes you're saying to yourself, wow, you know, you think that, you know, you had a bad day, and then you reel Lynn's day and you say, wow, well, maybe my day was not as bad. And sometimes that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And then some of the successes too, to hear another parent's success, you know, gives us hope at the end of the day. And that's what Hope Saves the Day has always been about, is bringing you hope. I can tell you a story for myself. My son had an amazing breakthrough the other day. he was, it actually almost broke my heart, to be honest with you. My daughter was getting ready to leave for softball, and she, you know, we were going there in the car. Well, he grabbed a baseball glove and a ball, and he put it on his hand, and he was pulling me outside like he wanted to have a catch. And it was, like, very emotional moment because for years, never thought, you know, he'd want to do that. Now, unfortunately, a lot of you don't know, but I'm injured right now, so I can't do those things right now. I can't have a catch. So I obviously couldn't do it with him, but my daughter went out and actually had a little catch with him for a few minutes before, and he's learning how to use the glove. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I never in a million years thought he'd ever use a baseball glove. He's now 12 years old, and he actually, for the first time, picked up a glove and shown interest in having a catch. But hopefully, like I said, I'll hopefully get better soon. Suffered a shoulder injury pretty bad, so can't do those things right now. But hopefully I'll be back to doing those great things soon with him once I get better. But I was pretty blown away, you know, and he was very persistent that he wanted to have a catch. So I asked my daughter to please take him outside, and Dad went out to watch at least. So, but it was pretty awesome moment for me that he actually understood. I mean, he just literally reached in the bag, grabbed the glove. We had a few gloves in the bag. My daughter had from she had one from Little League when she played baseball, and then she has her softball glove, and it was just awesome. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you guys because it was pretty cool for me. You know, being a dad, I know for most dads out there, you know, we want our kids to play sports, and of course, we have all these goals in our minds, I guess, of when we have a son, what we want to do to play ball, because, you know, a lot of us have played sports before. I know myself, I played baseball, I played hockey, I played basketball growing up, and just love to be around sports, watch sports, and to play as well. So I always wanted to dream of going out in the yard, and just like my dad did with me, and have a catch with my son. You know, and so even though I couldn't do it that day, it was still an amazing moment for me to see that, and I got very emotional. I couldn't help, you know, hold back the tears, I'm being honest. So it was like, wow, and he was just pulling me outside. He wanted to go and put the glove on his hand, and he kept, you know, throwing the ball in his glove. And you got to remember, I've never put a glove on him ever. I'm going to be honest, I never did. No, he's probably seen his sister do it at the games a couple times that he's been, but not much. He's only been to maybe 5 games since he's played ball. We usually don't bring him to the field because a couple times we did, he was, when he was a little younger, he used to run around the field, and we had to chase him all over the place because it's a big open field, obviously. So we just didn't bring him anymore because I know it bothered my daughter a little bit at the time, but now she doesn't care as much anymore, and actually he doesn't do those things a lot anymore. So that's another thing, too. He'll actually sit in a chair. You give him some snacks, he'll actually sit in a chair and watch most of the game, too. So he's come a long way. You know, like I said, it's a journey that, you know, we just take one day at a time and one little, I like to call it my one little miracle of the day, and they're just great things. So, but I just want to thank everybody for your continued support again on this program, Hope Saves the Day. And I'm glad that I'm able to bring you some, hopefully some hope and joy into your lives every day and share some great information. And we have great events going on in the community. I also like to thank everybody who I don't always get a chance to, but our board of directors from Autism Radio, John Simmons, Scott Nagel, Mike Capizano, Mr. Rob Katz, and of course my co-host, Lynn Glukoff. Just a huge shout out to all of them for all their continued support. Carolyn Waterman, Amy Wyman, who run our swim program on a day-to-day basis. I just want to thank those people because these people are all part of our Autism Radio team, and they make everything possible to really make a difference in children's lives and families' lives every day. So I'm not in this journey alone, although I did start it. And it was my idea, and I did a lot of the grunt work, but I have a great team of people with big hearts who really do a great job. So I just want to say thank you to them. But I'd like to wish everyone a great week, and thank everybody again for the continued support here on the program. And remember, until next time, everyone, hope saves the day. Goodbye, everyone.
Hi, my name is Tom Casella, and I'm a music teacher in a special needs school in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, called the Windsor Learning Center. I've created this music video to help spread autism awareness. This project is important to me because I've worked with many autistic students over the past 7 years, and I've watched the number of students diagnosed with autism increase. The newest statistic is that 1 in every 50 children is diagnosed somewhere along the autism spectrum. I was inspired to create this music video for Autism Radio's Hope Saves the Day music contest to help spread autism awareness. Musicians are to create music to the lyrics written by Paul Simmons and then submit their music to listeners, then to be judged. The lyrics are about his personal experience with his son who is nonverbal, and I wanted to dedicate my musical rendition to someone I know in my life, a beautiful mother and daughter who are facing some of the same challenges, Tammy Marderson and Jalen West.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside, please help me understand. What's your world like? I wanna feel your love. I wanna know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought you can't feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound you can't make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling, how it feels to be me.
Please share this video to help spread autism awareness. Also, please consider donating to autismradio.org, America's first 100% volunteer charity for autism.